following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Welcome to the best of Pit Pass USA 2010. I'm Larry Henry. I hope you had a great New Year's weekend. On this look back, we'll look to our conversation with NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Rebestos Rookie of the Year, Austin Dillon, American Le Mans Series LMP champion David Brabham, and NHRA's Clay Milliken. To kick off tonight, we go back to May and the day after the running of the Indianapolis 500 as Pit Pass USA talks to 2010 winner at the Brickyard, Dario Franchitti.
Just a great dominating run all day at Indianapolis, but did you get worried? How concerned were you at the end when they're telling you slow down, save fuel, we don't know if we've got enough, and you had to stretch it, and you start going, man, I've had such a dominant day, and it could all go away in the final couple of laps.
Yeah, well, they never told me we don't have enough. They just told me a fuel number to get, and I was getting it, so I knew we were cutting it close, but I knew and trusted what those guys were telling me, so even if I'd have gone green, would have been good to go. But I must admit, I was worried at the walking that tightrope of not going too slowly, but saving enough fuel at the same time. And it was frustrating because the target car had obviously been quick all day, and we were able to run 223 laps. And all of a sudden, I'm down there running sometimes, you know, I think I ran a 200 lap near the end, and it was just frustrating. But that was the best way to win. You know, it was the best way to get the best result, and we ended up getting it done.
You actually had a great month of May all the way through, from practice to qualifying, being on the front row, having a chance at the pole, the race itself. I mean, it was almost a picture-perfect month of May.
It was a stressful month, though, I have to say, Larry. The first couple of days, we really weren't sure of the speed of the car. We made some fairly big changes. In fact, we actually ran the 10T for the rest of the month. But we made those changes, and then things picked up. And for qualifying, we were a little shy in speed in qualifying, but on carb day, the car was really good. I thought, if this translates into race conditions, we're going to be a contender today. And sure enough, Chris Simmons and the whole Target team did a good job for me, and that was it.
Were you surprised you were so dominant in this race, or did you kind of have a feeling you could be?
No, I didn't expect that at all. You know, when I went from third to first in the first lap, I thought, okay, I kind of did that in last year as well. So I thought that's not unusual, I guess. And then we had the early yellow in the first restart, and I just drove away. I thought, okay. And then we had the first pit stop, and then Will had a mistake, and drove away from the next guy, and then the next guy, and we ended up with like a 10-second lead at one point. I thought, this thing is flying. But I just, you know, you've been around the Speedway a long time. You know what it's like. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Okay, what's going to happen here? What's going to throw a spanner in the works? And sure enough, it was that that caution right on the edge of the fuel window.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody was, it came down to a point, I think, with about 10 laps, 10, 12, it doesn't matter. You're going to go. You're not coming off the racetrack. You're going for the Indianapolis 500, and it's kind of like when I've talked to your boss, Chip Ganassi, and I've talked to Roger Penske. You don't come there to finish second. You got a chance to win. You go for it. Okay, you wind up 10th, 11th, fine. You only have one chance at a certain time to win an Indianapolis 500, and you go.
That's exactly right. And there's obviously that little voice saying, oh, think of the championship. And I'm like, no, forget the championship at this point. Yeah, you're going and you're not. You know, that was the thing with Tony. Tony was running me close, and I was like, I'm not letting him get close enough, and I'm going to do everything I can to, and if I have to burn a little more fuel, so be it. But I'm going to put myself in a position to win this thing.
What was that like having your best buddy, Tony Kanaan, who started 33rd, got up to second? We've had a guy that's come from 33rd to 52nd before at Indianapolis, but never to win. Being right behind you, because you two guys go way, way back and are best of buds.
I had a chuckle when I saw him there at first. I thought, I knew I'd see you today. And then I thought, right, how am I going to keep you behind? Because one guy you don't want in your mirrors is TK. It's kind of like having Dixon in your mirrors. They just don't give up. Yeah. And I just put my head down and got on with it. And Tony was pushing me, but ultimately he burned a little too much fuel trying to do that. So I'm glad his month ended a lot better than it started, though, because he was having a tough one.
A much different ending to this Indianapolis 500 for the win than your first win, which was in the rain, and you actually had to negotiate around through the rain to get back to the start-finish. People kind of forget that the first time around. They were giving you the win, but you had to get back to the start-finish line. It was not over until you got there. This time, you had it covered. I don't care if the yellow came out there at the very end, because you weren't going to be pressed coming to the checkered flag, but to go the entire, did it feel different to you going the entire 500 miles and having an ending like that with a dominant car than the first win?
No, not really. The driving into victory circle was the same feeling of elation, and there were much different races. You're right, Larry. You know, in 07, we had that massive rain delay and then got a flat tire and had to start from the back of the pack and drove back to the front to put us in contention to win it. And then this year, as you say, we had that car we could lead all those laps with, but it came down to that crazy fuel stuff at the end. But that feeling of driving into victory lane is just as good.
Time with Dario Franchitti here in Pit Pass USA, winner of the Indianapolis 500. And Dario, do you start thinking of where you are in history now? I mean, two-time Indianapolis 500 winner. Jackie Stewart's going to have to move over a little bit, isn't he?
No. They asked me that yesterday in the press conference. I said I could win Indianapolis 500 from now until I'm 70, and I would never, you know, be on the same page or whatever you want to call it as Jimmy Clark or Jackie Stewart. Those guys are legends of the sport and the two of the absolute best, I mean, ever.
Now, what have you heard from back home in Scotland? I'm surprised there hasn't been a national holiday already.
Well, the phone lines have been burning. There's a lot of texts and a lot of emails and a lot of messages and stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting a chance to read those this afternoon.
What about with everything that happened? I mean, Chip Ganassi, you know, wins Indianapolis, wins Daytona, of course, 500 at the beginning of the year. Almost won the Coke 600. Jamie McMurray finished second in that one. And it's just, you know, going with Chip before you were with a different team, two different teams winning the Indianapolis 500. But to be with that team right now, the way they seem to be all keyed in with Chip and Mike Hall, and, of course, your teammate Scott Dixon, we don't leave one of Scott out, that this whole thing, as you guys continue onward towards possibly another championship at the year's end.
Yeah, it's funny. I was on the Yard of Bricks, and Chip handed me the phone. He said, hey, Zanardi wants to speak to you. So Zanardi was saying, oh, man, well done. You know, I'm really jealous you driving that car. It looked fast yesterday. And he said, now you know what I had all those years. And I said, yeah, all those years I spent running around behind you, and I know what you were driving. And he just laughed. And that is part of driving for Chip. He just, with the support of Target, he just gives us great stuff. We've got great people on the team. We have the resources to do it, and we do our absolute best to get the job done. It's an absolute pleasure to drive for the Target team. And, you know, with Dixie as my teammate, we push each other very, very hard. And one thing is, you know, as long as we've been doing this, we still learn from each other. And that's very, very helpful.
Now, a good friend of ours, who is also the PR director at Texas Motor Speedway, Mike Zizzo, stated that your father, George, had a hole-in-one playing golf recently and also had a hole-in-one before he won Indianapolis the last time. Is that true?
No, he had a hole-in-one in 07. He had another one, I think, in 08, but he hasn't. I don't think he had one. He would have told me. Trust me, he'd have told me.
Okay, so Mike Zizzo is making up another story to build up traffic going into Texas Motor Speedway this coming weekend. Is that it?
Yeah, I think cousin Mike's been listening to Eddie Gossage a lot.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me knowing your dad, but it was great watching him come into victory lane. Of course, your wife, Ashley, and everybody else, that was where to watch that. When does this set in, or do you have time to let it settle in that you've won Indianapolis twice? Because you've got to get right back in the saddle this weekend at a very tough and very fast Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, exactly. Texas this weekend, and it's, you know, onward and upward with the, you know, the Eyes on IndyCar series. But I'm hoping I'll get a little bit of time tonight and then driving home, and I've got tomorrow off, so I'm hopeful that I might sink in then and just maybe enjoy it for a minute or two before heading to Texas on Wednesday morning.
Aren't you going to have to sleep a lot? I'm sure you haven't had much sleep with all the TV commitments and network television and reporters and people like me that are bugging the heck out of you to talk. How much sleep have you really had?
Well, you forget the partying, too.
Like, oh, I forget. Well, I didn't want to bring that up, but I figured that probably took place somewhere, too.
It was a little partying. I got 4 hours sleep last night, so I've got a quiet afternoon, though, so I'll probably watch the Grand Am race and see if Memo and Scott can get the job done there. And I'm going to go to the hospital and see Mike Conway and then get ready for tonight. But I will definitely sleep tonight.
Okay, last time you won the Indianapolis 500 and wrapped everything up at the season's end, you decided to go NASCAR. That's not going to happen this time, is it?
No, I won't be doing that.
you know where your success is right now, and it seems to be with Chip and the solid team that he's got going for you throughout the year. Now the focus again, the championship. You're right there in the points, obviously. Will Power had a very strong start, and moving to some of the ovals. Is this the portion of the schedule where now you start focusing on that? Indianapolis is, okay, it's great to celebrate, but now it's in the past. Now the big picture is getting another IndyCar championship.
Yeah, exactly. That was our big focus was first of all, getting Indy in the books, either with Scott or myself, and now it's time to focus, as you say. Yeah, one race at a time and just do the best we can, and yeah. We'll see how it goes, Larry, but this target team is very motivated, as unfortunately as the whole paddock.
Well, again, congratulations on winning your second Indianapolis 500, and I'm glad that you still remember us little people and talk with us along the way.
Larry, when were you ever described as little?
Well, that's true. That is true. That is very, very true. But I do appreciate you doing this, and you are one of the best. As I always say, good things happen to good people, and you're one of them. And again, congratulations and enjoy, my friend.
Thanks, Larry. I'll see you soon.
Dario, of course, would go on to win his third IndyCar title in 2010. Next up, ALMS LMP champion David Brabham. When Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues on the Power Up Motorsports Series on BoingsAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Are you ready for an old-school, in-your-face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with your hosts, Derek Enard, and the coach, Al Gross. You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and their weekly guests that are personal and provocative. From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
For the second year in a row, Patrone Highcroft Racing was crowned champion in the American Le Mans Series this past season in the combined LMP class. David Brabham and Simon Pagenaud cruised to the title. FitPass USA talked to Brabham, who was also the 2009 24-hour Le Mans winner, going into the final event of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it is. It is quite busy. Just obviously getting ready to head off tomorrow to Atlanta for, as you say, it's the last race, and we have a championship to fight for. But, you know, the Petron Highcroft Racing team just done a fantastic job this year and, you know, put us into a very good, strong position for the last race, and very much looking forward to it.
Looking at it from the outside and just the point situation, it looks like this is a done deal. You only have to finish 70% of the top race finishers laps, and you clinch the driver and the team manufacturer and engine championships for the team. But it's not quite that simple, is it?
No, it's not, because we had the very same scenario last year. And it's amazing the amount of, well, the different type of pressure kind of brews up all of a sudden. And it's like everyone's kind of like a little bit, probably a little bit more nervous, because, you know, it seems like a simple thing, but, you know, it can be, you know, obviously something can happen to the car, or you end up having an accident with someone. And, you know, we have a lot of cars at Petit Le Mans, so the risks kind of go up. But, you know, I think we've just got to go there and treat it like any other race. And, you know, if you think what we've done so far this year, you know, we've finished on the podium every race. If we do that again, then we've won the championship. So I think our focus really should be just let's get the top three and get another podium, and the championship will take care of itself.
It has been an incredible year. You mentioned the team has been on the podium every one of the races this season, and you had that great run where you had three consecutive victories at Long Beach, Laguna Seca, and Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we had a great run then, and I think the reason we're sort of in the lead of the championship in such a strong position is that, you know, we were very well prepared before the start of the season. We got going and we were strong straight away. As the season has progressed, other teams have got stronger and stronger, and, you know, we haven't won a race since Salt Lake, so it just shows that the competition now is a lot tougher. And, you know, we have to work really hard to try and win a race now.
Time with David Brabham here on Pit Pass USA, one of the drivers, the Petron Highcroft Racing LMP2 that is going for their class title this weekend at Petit Le Mans down at Road Atlanta. And there's actually going to be three of you on board the car this time. Yourself, Simon Pagenaud, and Marino Franchitti is going to join you.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's a long race, so Marino steps in and helps us out. He obviously was there at Spring, Le Mans, and Laguna Seca. So, you know, he's a fantastic addition to the team, obviously alongside Simone. He's been absolutely stellar this year. And, you know, for the three of us to be together, you know, I'd like to think on paper it puts us as one of the strongest driver pairings out there. And, you know, we all work very well together with the team. And, you know, we're exchanging a few emails actually today saying how much we're looking forward to going to Atlanta and, you know, getting the job done, and how much fun we've had this year, you know, working together.
Yeah, obviously so, with the success that you've had on the track from back at the very beginning of the season. But again, what ahead of you is a big challenge this weekend. First, a 45-car field on a 2.54-mile circuit. How do you handle that? I mean, there's going to be traffic everywhere, even more than normal, it seems.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that one pans out. Yeah, I mean, huge grid, which, you know, you have to say is fantastic for the race. You know, we've got a lot of people coming over from Europe. It's going to be one hell of a race, and a lot of cars on that circuit. So, you know, we just got to make sure we run a pretty clean race the whole way. And I think, you know, anything can kind of happen. So even though we're in the sort of P2 category, you know, we could end up winning the thing as well, you know, because there are so many cars out there.
Not only do you have to survive the race, but you have to survive practice, which may be maybe the bigger challenge of the weekend, because twice the team has had to build a brand new car in less than 24 hours after a practice crash the last couple of years while racing.
Yeah, well, thanks for reminding us about that.
I try to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, obviously, you know, the last couple of years at Petit haven't gone as well as we would have liked. Scott obviously had a massive crash last year and you know, just stepped out with hardly any sort of bruising at all. But, of course, the car was completely destroyed. And, you know, the team had to build a new one in less than 24 hours, really. And they did it, I think, in 22 hours, which, you know, normally it takes weeks to build a brand new car. But the Patrone Highcroft Racing team just, you know, I think staggered everyone, not just ourselves, but I think as drivers, but certainly down pit lane, a lot of people were in awe of that that performance. And, you know, at the end of the day, it actually contributed massively to us winning the championship last year, because otherwise, you know, we would have missed that race. And then, you know, the chances are we probably would have lost the championship. So it's performances like that, you know, make a big impact on the year.
We're talking with David Brabham here on Pit Pass USA, one of the co-drivers of the Patrone Highcroft Racing LMP2 car, which is going for the title this weekend at Petit Le Mans. David, what is the key to Road Atlanta as a race car driver?
What's the key to Atlanta?
Yes, Road Atlanta.
Well, I mean, from someone like myself, you know, I've done thousands of miles there. It's a very demanding circuit, particularly with the cars with high downforce. And, you know, you've got to be in peak condition physically and mentally, because obviously it's a long race as well. The biggest issue we all have is going to be traffic. It'll be trying to make the tires go through a stint fairly clean. And what I mean by that is because you have a lot of other slower cars out there and you'll be passing cars offline. So there'll be a lot of loose rubber and dirt on those parts of the circuit. And if you get that stuck on your tire for two or three laps, you know, you slow down, it becomes more dangerous. And, you know, we just got to make sure that whatever setup we come up with is a fast one, but also cleans the tire fairly quickly.
David, I know the curtain goes down this weekend on the American Le Mans Series season down at Road Atlanta, but I understand that's not going to end your season. You're actually doing a lot of other racing. You're going down to Australia, Bathurst, and a couple of other stops?
Yes. I'm obviously finished the Petit Le Mans, which obviously is a 1,000-mile race. Monday, I jump on a plane, go straight to Australia for the Bathurst 1,000, which is a 1,000-kilometer race. And then 2 weeks after that, I'll be doing the Gold Coast 600. So, and these are all in the Australian V8 Championship races. So I've just come back, really, from Phillip Island doing a V8 race. And then, you know, actually that was a couple of weekends ago. And last weekend I was driving a Volkswagen Scirocco in Germany. So no rest for the wicked for me at the moment.
Now, Bathurst, of course, everyone knows what's going to happen at Gold Coast. I've been trying to figure out a way to scam my way down there, because I went back in the car days when we raced it at Surfers Paradise, and it's an awesome place to go. But this V8 race with yourself, I know Dario Franchitti's going, Elio Castroneves is going, Scott Dixon, Will Power. I mean, the names go on and on. It is going to be a fabulous and fun weekend.
Oh, it's going to be mega. It really is. I mean, I'm just so looking forward to it. And, you know, there'll be a lot of those guys who haven't driven those type of cars are in for a rude shock, to be honest, because they are really difficult to drive fast. They are very heavy. There's a lot of power. There's not a lot of grip. And, you know, these guys down there, they're very good, and they're in them all the time. So for an international to come down and be on the pace of these guys is tough. And, you know, they're not going to have a lot of running before the race. But, you know, they're good drivers and they're professionals. But I think it will make for a fascinating race weekend, that is for sure.
How much fun is it going to be being involved in that and racing against drivers that you know, both professionally and possibly as friends, yet you don't get to compete with them on the same racetrack, but you will this time?
Yeah, I think that's the neat thing about it, because most of the guys who are coming down I do know. I don't know all of them, but I certainly know the majority of them. And I've never really raced against them that much. So to go down there to Australia and race against these guys, you know, not only is it going to be, you know, great, tough racing, but I think, you know, we're all going to have an absolute blast outside the car as well.
Yeah, it is going to be a fabulous weekend, and I wish there was. You can't sneak me on as your luggage or something, can you? To get me down to Surfers, I'm still trying to figure out a way to go.
The problem is I've probably got about 50 other people on that list, so you'll be number 51, I think.
Yeah.
So many people want to go down there. It's unbelievable.
Well, it looks like it's going to be just such a big event, and I've talked about it. I have Crusher on. He is the man that handles PR for the event. I think all of us in racing know Crusher of Crust is passed at one time or another. But people that don't know it, the V8s are so huge in Australia. This is such a beautiful venue to have it. And the people get into it so much that this is probably going to be one of the biggest racing events of the world this year.
Well, it's definitely got a big one. I mean, you know, it's a bit like, having a NASCAR race, and it's a longer race, and you invite all these different international drivers to come down and share a car with a NASCAR driver, because, you know, NASCAR is huge in the States, but, you know, V8 racing is as huge per population in Australia. I mean, you know, the Bathurst 1000 is the biggest race in Australia, and that, you know, the whole country stops for that. You know, everyone stops and watches the Bathurst 1000. But I think now with the Gold Coast event, with the format that they have, I mean, Australia is spoiled. They've got two massive big events within 2 weeks. I mean, it's just going to be awesome.
Yes, it is. David, best of luck this weekend at Petit Le Mans, and then best of luck at the Bathurst 1000 and down at Surface Paradise. And thanks for taking time out while you're packing your socks and all the rest of the clothes away to head stateside.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to getting back to the States. And, the first job is to wrap up the championship and then move on to Australia. So that's our plan.
David Brabham, who looks for championship number 3 in a row when the ALMS season kicks off at the 12 Hours of Sebring, March 20th. Next up on Pit Pass USA, we chat with NHRA top fueler Clay Milliken. Not about his racing, but a massive flood that buried his race shop under 3 feet of water. When we continue on the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hi, I'm Shannon Brown with FedEx. We've been working together with the March of Dimes for stronger, healthier babies for many years. Did you know in America, 1 in 8 babies is born too soon? Those who survive their early birth can suffer serious and sometimes lifelong health problems. Some babies never come home. Help bring more babies home healthy. Join me and the March of Dimes in fighting premature birth. Go to marchofdimes.com.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
If it wasn't bad enough last year that NHRA top fuel driver Clay Milliken was struggling to find sponsorship to race, add in massive rains that hit Tennessee in May and flooded his race shop. Milliken joined us to talk about the situation,
and showed everyone a positive attitude that should inspire just about everyone.
We have definitely had quite the excitement around here since Saturday morning, and got a phone call around 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was one of those messages like, you need to get to the shop right away. Well, that turned out to be more of a chore than normal. I mean, my house is only about 6 miles away from here, and came down the road to go to the shop. It's a little bridge. It was flooded out. Made my way around and eventually made my way here to the shop, and it was not a pretty sight. About 3 feet of water inside the shop building. Our front driveway area kind of slopes, and there was probably 5 feet of water in both of our tractor trucks, some of the guys' cars that work on the race team, one of my cars. I mean, not to mention all the stuff inside the building. And, before we even get into many of the details on this, I mean, we've been just sick as I don't know what about, all of our equipment here. But, the poor people around here that have lost houses and everything they own, that way, I certainly feel for all of them. I can understand the cleanup process because we're literally, as you say, waist deep in the middle of it right now. And, man, you would think water, would not be that big a deal, but it sure does make a mess.
Yeah, I actually got drawn to this. I caught a couple of tweets that you had on Twitter, and you posted a picture, and I actually put it on our Facebook fan page for Pit Pass USA, of the parking lot and one of the cabs from your semi. The water's up into the cab, and all you can see from the cars in the parking lot is barely the roof. And there's your race shop sitting right beside him. I said, oh, my God. I mean, the water's got to be above all the equipment and the cars that are sitting in the shop. I mean, this has to be devastating to you.
Oh, it is. It really is. I mean, we were so proud of how nice the shop is. I mean, Mark and Lauren Pickens, that our race team owners, they really let us go crazy. I mean, in the lobby of the shop, a lot of really trick custom cabinets with, race helmets and trophies and pictures. And I mean, just all the stuff that's, really hard to replace, it's sickening. I mean, me and my wife and our assistant crew chief, Justin Crossland, one of our other guys, Greg Bennett, and we came in the shop while the water was still in here. So basically, we were trying to get some of the files, payroll, the just all the stuff. I mean, to make the place run, day-to-day operations, and, computers underwater and, all this stuff. While we were in here trying to gather some of that stuff up, it was already underwater, but we were just wanting to hurry up and get it out, so it could start drying and, thinking about keeping all the bills paid. Then suddenly the lights started coming on, the printer started going and lights were coming on. It's like, okay, time to get out of here, which, we shouldn't have been in here that quick anyway, but it's just amazing. I mean, we had one brand new top fuel car that was complete, race ready, and it was sitting on the floor just on the front wheels, and we got this little dolly deal holding up the back of it. I mean, it was completely covered, and the car that we raced last year was on ProJack, so I mean, it was above the crankshaft, basically, just to kind of give you a line of where it was. The water was kind of in that area on the car that we've been racing, and the race trailers, I don't know, all the first toolbox drawers, were full of water. The list goes on and on. I mean, we had, I lost count, 8 or 10 short blocks in our engine building area. They were all underwater. And I mean, the short block being underwater is not such a big deal until you start thinking about some of the small details, like the head studs and the main studs in all of our engines are made out of a material called H11, which is extremely strong stuff. The downside is, if it gets wet, it's unusable. So, I mean, there's thousands of dollars just in studs, not to mention the time and effort of, taking the motors apart and, completely cleaning and getting them ready to go racing again. I mean, because you can't leave anything, it'll be okay, just had some water in it. Well, everywhere we had water, even if it looked like clean water, when it dries, it's got this silt in it. It's just like sand, and it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it is such a crazy thing. I mean, we had, trailers and cars and everything just out in the parking lot, and you're just taking a water hose to your freaking car. It's like, holy crap,
Yeah.
Your street car, you don't think so much about that, but when you're freaking hosing off, you know, race cars and taking drain plugs out of motors and nothing comes out of them for, you know, 2 minutes but water. You know, that's just, it's heartbreaking.
And we're talking to Clay Milliken here on Pit Pass USA, his race shop underwater with the floods down in Tennessee. And Clay, you've not been on the racetrack here in 2010. You were working on sponsorship. You obviously, you know, had a brand new dragster sitting on the race shop floor. What does this do to this entire effort? I mean, you've got to almost start over from scratch, don't you?
You know, it will be a lot of work. I mean, again, you know, Mark and Lauren are just such super people. You know, we've got the team still on the payroll down here. We were, you know, they were more than ready to go racing at any moment. And, you know, this certainly, you know, we've been working on sponsorship extremely hard, and we've been making a little headway there. I mean, you know, certainly don't have, I wish I had some big announcement to make to you, and we were scrambling to get ready to go, you know, to Atlanta, but we're not that far along. But now, yes, you know, if we get some of these things done we're working on, you know, it is going to be a time crunch. And, you know, these guys here are the best in the business as far as I'm concerned, and they will get it done. It's just not our normal thing. You know, we're not, you know, cleanup experts, but we're learning, I assure you of that. I mean, it's just been awesome the way this team can come together when they need to, and I've seen them do it time and time again when we were battling out on the racetrack. And, you know, right now we're just battling time, and I mean that in, you know, chasing rust, basically. You know, we got to get all these parts, you know, cleaned off. You got to put your hand on every one of them and take them apart and give them a little loving and put them back together and make sure that they're good. And so we're kind of, you know, we're not racing in between rounds right now, but we're racing time just to save as much as we can. And biggest battle to start with, you know, was we had to make the shop where we could work in it. So, I mean, you know, it was like, holy crap, we got all these motors. We got to get them taken apart. But you've got to clean the shop before you can even start on that. And, I mean, you know, it's just, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I've had a lot of people that, you know, have offered their help. And certainly the first day that the water came in the shop, this is a small town. I've lived here my entire life, and I had people showing up that I haven't seen in a while, some that I see all the time, and they freaking just got with it. I mean, the mud that was on the floor was out of here that night. Now, I'm not saying it's clean, but the mud was out, and, you know, here we are Thursday. This happened Saturday morning. We almost have shop where we can start working. We've had the trailers outside. We just basically got inside the trailers and just pressure washed them. I mean, you know, so now you may have the mud out, but now the cleanup is what's left. You know, I mean, the actual cleaning process to where, you know, these things are presentable and race ready. Because, you know, when you go to the racetrack and you see these trucks and trailers, they're always gorgeous, and it takes a lot of work to do that. And so we kind of got a little extra cleanup to do before we're ready to go to the racetrack, but we will be ready, and you know, we're working our tails off to find that sponsor money, and we'll be back out there representing somebody in a big way.
Clay, how do you keep your spirits? I mean, if I had something like that happen to me, I would probably be somewhere with a bottle of Jack Daniels. You know, I mean, how do you keep up?
I know I got people that love me. I mean, I know that sounds kind of corny, but again, back to all the people that came and helped us on Saturday afternoon when the water receded. I mean, you know, it's pretty awesome, the small town thing. You know, I mean, there was people that brought food, and there was people that brought their backs, and they just picked stuff up and moved it, and we cleaned, and, you know, but now we're down to, you know, we got to have just our guys doing it. You know, we've got to, you know, a lot of people that offer their help, but when it comes to the race car parts, we got to have, you know, we got to have our team as the ones that are doing it. And as far as how I keep my spirits up, you know what, again, we didn't lose our houses. You know, we didn't lose people that we love. You know, a lot of people have, you know, they lost everything, and I still get to go to a race car shop and work every day, you know, and it's not as nice as it was last week, but I still get to, I'm doing what I love. I mean, you know, what I really love is driving a race car, but what I'm doing right now is just, you know, something I got to overcome to keep this race team going. And I love Mark and Lauren for sticking in there with us. I mean, poor Mark and Lauren, they had two really nice cars sitting in the parking lot. Mark, luckily, was gone to St. Louis to race in Top Sportsman, and his wife's, I think it's a 2008 or 9, I'm not sure, 911 Turbo sitting in the parking lot. And I was in St. Louis and drove home Friday night, my father-in-law is really sick, and so I wanted to come home and check on, you know, my father-in-law and then obviously my wife and that side of the family. And so I drove Mark's Cayenne home, and he has a really cool Porsche Cayenne Euro spec twin turbo, you know, fun car to drive home. And I parked it here in the parking lot and got in my old crappy Dodge truck and drove home. And unfortunately, that meant both of their cars were, wow, you know, caught in the floodwaters. And, you know, so it's just nonstop. But, you know, the upside to that is, you know, Mark's towed her home, and his really, really nice race car was not here. You know, they did lose their everyday drivers, but, you know, that was one more race rig that was not in the shop. So, you know, I'm going to keep my spirits up. I'm going to keep on smiling, and I'm going to find us some sponsor money, and we'll be back out there racing. And I just hope, you know, all the people, I mean, Nashville is just a mess, and there's a little community up the road here that's underwater, you know, worse than we were. We're lucky. I mean, our race shop is in Munford, Tennessee. We're, you know, just north of Memphis, and we got hit really, really hard right in this one little area. The town of Munford was pretty much okay, but, you know, 30, 40 miles up the road, there's a town called Dyersburg. I mean, it's literally like underwater, and the rain's been gone since Saturday, but the water's still rising. You know, the rivers are just full. They're holding all they can, and unfortunately, you know, they're spilling out into people's homes and businesses, and I really don't know what's going on in Nashville. I mean, Nashville's a couple hundred miles away, but I know it's worse there. So I'm going to keep smiling, brother. I can promise you that.
Clay Milliken is hoping to run full-time this season in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. Next, we go with NASCAR's youth movement as we talk with Austin Dillon as Pit Pass USA continues on the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Get ready for a show that's going to take it to the next level of sports talk. Get ready for Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. He's got 12 years of broadcast experience as an analyst for ESPN SportsCenter and NFL Live. And he has 10 years experience as a player with the Seahawks, Colts, Vikings, and Chargers, as well as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL. You'll hear the truth and not the sidelines. Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Unfiltered is not for the faint of heart. Tune in every weekday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
There were several young drivers in NASCAR in 2010 that seemed to be destined for stardom, none more than Austin Dillon. The grandson of Richard Childress took home Ray Bestos Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Pit Pass USA talked with Austin following his first career win at Iowa Speedway.
Thank you, and all the guys on our team. They've really been working hard, and they deserve it.
Well, you've been really on a roll of late. You had a third at Texas, a fifth at Michigan, and now a win at Iowa. Plus, you had three poles in a row. So eventually, you had to feel like you were going to get the win.
Yeah, it's been kind of coming up, you know. It's been right behind us there, and we just had it coming and just had to eliminate our mistakes. And, you know, we were flawless Sunday at Iowa, and that's what we needed.
This wasn't just a win. You really dominated on the day. You led 187 of 205, but late in the race, Johnny Sauter got around you, and then, of course, you had to hold him off in a green-white checkered. That was about your only competition on the day, wasn't it?
You know, our truck handled so well on restarts, and once we got rolling, I could get a lead and then kind of get comfortable and take my time once we were out front. And like you said, that last late race restart was a tough restart, and we had to kind of choose between choosing the top or the bottom with the double file restarts, and chose the top, and it ended up prevailing and put us in victory lane.
Now, I understand there was a lot of discussion between everyone involved whether you were going to go on the outside or the inside on that final green-white checkered restart, and you actually remembered a scripture verse?
Yeah, I kind of knew where I wanted to be is on the top, and I knew that it didn't matter if I chose the top or the bottom. I had to have a good start on that last green-white checkered, and just kind of got a little nervous, and then looked on my race car. I had Romans 15:32 there, and I read it to myself, and I took a deep breath, and I think it gave me the strength to go ahead and win that race.
How big was this for you, not only to get the win in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, but, you know, the three, your grandfather, Richard Childress, been so, you know, involved intimately with that number three and the black three. And, of course, a week ago at Daytona with Dale Earnhardt Jr. winning in the number three Wrangler car in Nationwide. Was it a big emotional time for you, not only on top of being the first win in the truck series, but also everything else that went around it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, three victory lane in front of all those fans in Iowa. I mean, there's great fans out there in Iowa, and people really like seeing that number out front, and it was really special for my family and myself to get that first win behind us, and now we can go out and not even worry about getting that win, just go out and really doing well now.
Austin, did you feel pressure, though, having that number on the car? Because race fans do associate it with, of course, Dale Earnhardt Sr. It has a great history around it. It is almost like a magical number that's out there. Did you ever feel pressure with that number on your truck?
I think I put pressure on myself more than anything just to run well with it. And I'm still going to, you know. I want to win every time I get in that three car. And when it's out there, you want to do the best in it because of the fans. And you just put pressure on yourself. I mean, I do. It's a challenge to me. Every time I enter the track, I want to be the best, and when we come out of there with a win, it proves that we can do it.
Time with Austin Dillon here on Pit Pass USA. He drove the number three truck, Bass Pro Shop Chevy Silverado, to victory in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series at Iowa this past weekend. And driving for your grandfather, Richard Childress, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, he could win. He's driving good equipment. But I look around. And, okay, Kyle Busch has got his own good equipment and puts drivers in that. You've got Kevin Harvick, who's got awfully good trucks out there, and Ron Hornaday Jr. running in one of those, plus other guys week in, week out. It's not just about having good equipment. I mean, you've got to have a good crew, and you've got to be a pretty good driver, too.
You know, RCR did a great job this year of putting the right people in place to help us, and my crew chief, Danny Stopman Jr., he's a champion. He worked at Kevin Harvick Incorporated and worked for Ron Hornaday, and he decided to make the change and come over and take a chance with me this year. And we're both rookies in our positions, and it's pretty cool for both of us to go out and win in our 12th race together, so. It was pretty awesome.
Austin, you speak of being a rookie in the truck series, and you are, obviously, but I went back through and looked at your bio, and you started racing, what, about 5 years ago or so?
Racing
more up in the Bandoleros and those types of things. I'm assuming you probably did some karting earlier than that.
Actually, I didn't. I started in the Bandolero, like you said, like about 5 years ago, and ever since then, it's been it's been a heck of a ride, you know. My dad and grandfather have kind of chosen the path the way we've gone up through there. We ran dirt late models and all different ways of racing, and it's been fast. You know, we've moved up really quickly, and now I feel like finally we're in a place where we can take our time and try and learn how to win races and try and go after a championship.
You know, I talk to an awful lot of young drivers, and there seems to be just an abundance of young drivers out there, and many have started when they were 5 or 6 years old and in karts, and then, you know, slowly worked their way up. But you definitely have been on an accelerated program to go from 5 years ago not racing to now actually winning a NASCAR.
You know, it's really cool. You know, I didn't think I'd be at this level as quick as we got here. I was talking to some of the guys I've taken through. I got a few guys that have worked with me since we started in Bandoleros, and the Legends cars are still with us and working on my truck team. And it's pretty cool to see us, how we've developed and come this far. And it's amazing how things can change from year to year.
Austin, you're only a couple of hundred points really out of the lead. You're in seventh in the truck series. Obviously, you've been on a roll, as I said, a third, a fifth, a win. You've got three poles in a row. You're headed to Gateway this weekend. Do you feel that you can make up all that ground? It's really not that big, considering you've got most of the season ahead in the truck series to actually go after the championship this year?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, we have a lot of races coming up. We got a nine-week stretch starting at Iowa, and going into the stretch, you know, after this win, it puts us in perspective that we can actually win this championship. And the trucks we're bringing to the track, there's no reason why we shouldn't. We just got to go do it now. We'll run top five each and every week. Can't have any more mistakes. You know, we kind of have used all of our mulligans from earlier this year, and we just have to go out and do what we've done the last 3 weeks.
What's the biggest thing you've learned so far being in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series that maybe you hadn't learned in the other series that you had been competing in, other than the competition is a whole hell of a lot better?
You just can't make mistakes. You put yourself so far behind when anything happens. It doesn't matter if you lose a little bit of time and don't make a game-changing mistake, is what we call them. And as long as you can put yourself in a position to win at the end, with being there, whether it's a green, white, checkered, whatever it may be, being up front at the end is the biggest thing, and not to have yourself, don't put yourself a lap down in any way.
Austin, I got to ask you before I let you go, how thrilled were you when your younger brother, Ty, got the pole for the ARCA series race there at Iowa, and then he did wind up second on the day?
I was very excited. You know, I came, I was doing an autograph session. I came around the corner, and I saw him on the pole, and I started jumping up and down, and I got to be the first one to his car, and, you know, it was really cool for him. He's had a good year so far, and that just added to it.
Well, we know about the Busch brothers, Kurt and Kyle, and their little competition they had on. Do you and your brother have that going on and looking at, hey, maybe we can be the next brother duo up in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series?
You know, we're very competitive, and that was really cool for us this weekend. You know, I got asked a bunch, what would you do now if little brother's coming up in there? You know, I just wouldn't have to give him as much information, I guess.
Absolutely. Hey, Austin, congratulations again on the win, and good luck at Gateway. You've never raced at Gateway before, have you?
No, I don't have any laps there, but we'll just have to approach it like anywhere else we go and really attack practice and try and be on top of the charts and have a great truck come race time.
Dylan is back in the black number 3 for 2011 in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I hope you've enjoyed our look back at 2010 with Dario Franchitti, David Brabham, Clay Milliken, and Austin Dillon. Next week, we'll continue with our march down memory lane. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern on Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
That will do it for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.